Blog Talk Radio.
Teddy, I've been with him for a while. He kind of understands my situation, and he's here with me. He kind of lets me do my thing, and there's mutual respect there. So, you know, I'm still here to work and get better every day, and excited to play hockey.
Now, you had success in the NHL, and you're coming back here for, it was said, to work on your defensive game. Do you feel at this point, though, I mean, you're working on your game, do you feel like you're an NHL player at this point?
Yeah, I do, and, you know, I just kind of got to wait for that opportunity. It was all positive things coming down, and, it's just a matter of getting that opportunity and making the most of it.
Now, it was said, Stan Bowman did an interview with Mark Lazarus of the Sun-Times, and he said that wanted you to work on your defensive game and also get your confidence back. Was that something they communicated to you before you left?
Yeah, they said that, and, you know, it's just a matter of playing more and getting comfortable, and I thought I was getting, as it came and the opportunity was there, I was doing well, and then, you know, obviously things kind of tailed out to where I got sent down, but, you know, it's just a matter of, when I get that next opportunity, making the most of it.
Is there one thing, maybe, that you're isolating in on, the dominoes will fall? You know, is it just confidence, or is there anything about your game that you want to...
No, the confidence is always going to be there as a defensive guy. You know, you want him to puck, and, it's just sticking with it and staying positive throughout this whole thing. And, wherever I end up, it's, I get to play hockey for a living, so it's not a bad thing. And, I'm comfortable here with the guys, great group here, so while I'm down here, I'm just going to have fun and play.
Good Lord, just let me live till tomorrow. I'm gonna send you another prayer. This is T. Yeah, till tomorrow. This black man gonna send you another prayer. You know, sometimes I begin to wonder, what in the world am I doing over here? You don't love me no more, baby, and I can't see the reason why. You don't love me no more, baby. Poor lady, can't see the reason why. You know I never told you no story, if you don't understand that. And I never have told you a lie.
How's it going, everybody? Brandon Peary there at the top of the hour, or thereabouts. Brandon Peary there talking about being demoted back to Rockford and what the future may hold for the Brandon Peary. Currently, Brandon Peary playing in the AHL All-Star Game against Farastad of the Swedish Hockey League. In the third period, AHL up 6-2. AHL All-Stars up 6-2 on Farastad, and as it stands right now, Brandon Peary, quite likely, going to be the MVP of that game as it stands now. So, Brandon Peary there at the top of the hour, Rockford Ice Hogs. Welcome here tonight to Puck Chatter Radio, the official online audio program of thethirdmanin.com, puckchatter.com. I am Chris Block, writer, editor, and keeper of that website. Also on the line here today, I believe... Oh, man, this is not going good so far. Superstar.
How you doing, buddy?
We are, I'm doing fantastic. We are the internet's finest bi-monthly podcast going. Would you not agree?
Oh, of course. Of course. We got to get back onto the bi-monthly at least.
Yeah, bi-weekly, we could get there. Bi-weekly, weekly, that might be pushing it. But it's good to have goals.
Well, yeah.
I mean, speaking of goals.
Generally, you set out to exceed those goals, but
Speaking of goals, we're going to talk about on the show tonight, we're going to talk about the Rockford IceHogs scored a whole mess of goals over the weekend. Two games over the weekend, and they played about 8 days ago against Hamilton. They unloaded against the Hamilton Bulldogs for six. I think they scored eight on Saturday night, I want to say, against Iowa, which is not a good team, but still a team that has a better winning percentage than the Rockford IceHogs, and or points percentage, points accumulated percentage. And then again against Utica. Actually, they're pretty lucky on Sunday against Utica. But the Rockford IceHogs active during this Olympic break, so we'll focus a little bit more on them. Also talking Chicago Blackhawks hockey, we, as in you and I, Superstar, caught some West Coast hockey Blackhawk road trip action in person. Maybe we'll talk about that. And a whole mess of stuff. We haven't, like I said, we haven't done a show in a couple of months, so there's a lot to cover. And we're not going to get it all done in an hour and a half. We're going to talk about, well, I'll list the things that we, like I could. I won't. I could list, like, all the stuff that we should cover, and we won't get to it. So what's the point?
There is none.
We just got back from Las Vegas. Well, we were in Las Vegas, and then we were in California. And then we got held over in California. And then eventually we made it back. But it was good. It was fun. And maybe we'll talk a little bit about that. Superstar, the Valentine's Day is coming up. You got any special, any big plans for your number one special lady friend?
As of yet, no. I should probably get going on that, figuring it's day after tomorrow. I don't know, man. We're busy, you know. We got things, and, you know, she's here and there and coming and going, and, you know, I don't know. We'll figure something out for sure.
That's nice. I'll be headed out to Rockford on Friday night to see those IceHogs play the Chicago Wolves for a Valentine's Day night game. Big divisional matchup for the IceHogs. We'll break down exactly where the IceHogs are. There's a lot of coming out of the weekend. There's a lot of excitement about the IceHogs. Some acquisitions. Brandon Peary, of course, is back with the IceHogs. Jeremy Morin's down there. You know, but we'll get into that a little bit later. I just gave Rutu a pig's ear. Let me tell you something about Rutu. Let me tell you something about Rutu. All right. See, this is why I don't like doing the show from home. Like, lately when I come home, especially, I guess, because I was away for so long, like, now, like, because when I'm gone, Rutu, my dog, you know, he goes over to my parents' house. And he loves it over there because there's so many animals, and he ends up running the show because he's, you know, he's got a little Napoleon complex. Well, I get home, ever since I came home, like, he's attached to my hip. Like, if I'm not looking at him or I'm not paying attention to him, he starts to cry. Like, I'm sitting at night, I'm sitting at my desk doing some work, and he's like, ooh, pay attention to me, right? So I'm worried about this because I had to do the show from home tonight. I just came from awake, actually. And so I get home, I'm just, like, set up here, I'm all ready to go, even though it took me 25 minutes to find the USB cable that is required to do this show. Well, it almost wasn't a show. And so I'm like, all right, how am I going to keep Rutu busy? So when I took lunch at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I went to the Petco and I got him a big bag of pig's ears. Dogs love pig's ears. So I gave him a pig's ear right before the show started. Now he's just sitting there looking at me. So he's going to start crying. He's going to start barking. Oh, I took him for a walk last night, right? Cause I mean, there's snow everywhere. We're doing the show from Chicago, so there's snow everywhere in Chicago. I mean, in case anyone missed it, anybody, there's snow everywhere, right? Oh, I got to talk about that in a second too. But there's snow everywhere. So, our block, and actually the whole block really, like, actually some I wouldn't even hear, but luckily somebody, because my tenants are fucking ignorant. So somebody came down with, like, a snowblower and did, like, the whole block, right? And then the other side's pretty good, too. So I figured, well, I'll take Rutu for a walk. And Rutu, like, he just misbehaves. And, like, you put him on the leash, and he immediately starts racing down the street, like running as fast as he can. I don't know, superstar, if you've seen me lately, but, like, I'm not running, right? I'm not going to run with the dog. Right? I'm not running anywhere. I actually did run at the gym last night for like on the treadmill for like 10 minutes, and I nearly died. But I did the rest of it as I should, which is power walk. But how you say? So I'm walking with him down the street. And I'm like, run! He's running. I'm like, I stop him. Like, Rutu. I'm like, giving him a lecture. I'm like, walk next to me. I'm like trying to train the dog. He's 4 years old. I should just give up by now, right? He's not going to listen to me. So
no.
It's like, God. So what I, and it's funny because like other people will walk him. Like my mom took him for a walk with like my niece over a couple weekends ago, last weekend, whatever it was. And I asked, I said, did Rutu behave when you walked him? And they're like, yeah, he behaved. I had an old lady friend of mine. Like when she was here, like she'd be like, oh, can I take Rutu for a walk? I'm like, yeah, sure, go ahead, whatever, go ahead. So, and then she wouldn't want me to come with her because why would she want that? So, like, they go for a walk, and she, you know, they come back, and I'm like, did Rutu behave? Was he running the whole time? She's like, no, he walked right next to me the whole time. I'm like, what the fuck? You know?
Probably because he knows he can get away with it with you.
I know. I'm playtime. Like, and I'm a pushover. There's no, yeah, that's just the way it is. But I'm starting to think, like, because he's, especially this past, you know, a few days since I've been back, like, he's very attached to me. And the only thing he's doing weird is he won't, like, he comes in bed at night, but then he leaves right away, which he never did before. So he's just acting all weird. So I was looking at the calendar today, and 3 weeks, superstar, get serious for a second. 3 weeks from today forward, 3 weeks from today, it will be 2 years to the day since I put Moose down, my cat, or the second one that I had to put. Well, the first one just died, and then the second one I had to put down. So I couldn't believe it's been 2 years.
Wow.
I'm thinking,
that's crazy.
It's been two. It's crazy. You're telling me it's been. I remember that like it was yesterday. I remember, because I put him down on a Monday night, and then we did a show, like, the next day. And I told the story on the show. And I remember going, like, to the United Center the next night, people coming up to me like, man, that was hard to listen to. I'm like, hard to listen to? I had to stand there, you know? Like, screw you. Hard to listen to. Fast forward. I love when people, like, complain about what's on the show. It's like you listen to it on archive. Fast forward to something you want to hear. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
You know, but like, yeah, because I remember that because like I put him down on a Monday. We did a show, then the Hawks played, and then the Hawks played like the Rangers on Friday night. I remember that game, but that was 2 years ago. I couldn't believe it when I thought about it. I haven't thought about it. And so, I mean, long story short, the whole point of this is that it's time that we go get another animal. I flirted with the idea of getting an animal before, but like. You know, it's like at certain times, like I go through these, you know, these stints of like a month here and 2 months here where I'm like, you know what, I should date, you know, I should find Mrs. Block, right? And that lasts like 5 days, you know, before I just realize that this is pointless. But you meet like people and like they'll tell you, they're like, oh, I'm allergic to cats. It's like, well, I guess I can't get a cat then. You know, Rutu's got, you know, he's going to have no friends. Because I don't want to, Rutu, you can't get a dog that's older than him because Rutu will just boss that dog around. So, like, that's not going to work. So the only thing I really could get as far as a dog would be a puppy, and I don't want to go through another thing with a puppy. So I'm thinking cat, but I don't know. We'll figure it out. But we got to get something because Rutu's killing.
I love the fact that you just had a on-air discussion with yourself, kind of weighing your loneliness and your dog's loneliness. to see who's going to come out.
We're both, the point of that, this story, this show oftentimes has been like therapy to me. It's true. But there's no denying that.
Should I date? Yeah, what if I get a cat?
The more of that. The gist of to summarize, Rutu and I both need companionship, but we don't want each other's companionship. He's just like looking at me. He's like, my life was so great while you were gone. There was two dogs and all these cats and people around all the time. And now I'm back at home with you. You're never here. You know. Like, I realize how much my life sucks with you.
Classic.
So I don't want to bore everyone with our stories and the great time that we had out there in the California sun. I mean, I really don't want to do that. Unless you want to, Superstar.
Yeah, well, you know, we could, you know, divulge a little bit, and, you know, we don't have to bore them, but any more than we already do.
It's funny, because a couple of people after our last show, like, you remember, I don't even remember, you probably don't remember our last show, but even though you were here, you did it with me. But you remember on the last show where I was sort of trolling our listeners in northern Manitoba?
Yeah.
You know, Well, I was like, you know, our listeners in northern Manitoba are like, well, try minus 17. And I was like, yeah, you know. Well, like a week after we did our show in Chicago, it was minus 17. So I just.
Yeah, you did.
5 days after we did that show, we had record lows in Chicago. Frigid highs, record frigid highs. I jinxed us, but that's my MO, Superstar.
Yeah.
I could, Superstar, jinx Jesus Christ on Easter. That's...
Wait, will you jinx us trying to get back from California? We'll be all right. We'll be all right.
I did that on purpose, I got to tell you. I didn't want to come home. Come home to a dog that hates you. Like, that's the point. The dog's like totally like, I'm over you. Oh. Have I mentioned that I hate my tenants yet?
You call them ignorant, I believe was the word you used a few minutes ago, but...
Yeah, well, hate would be a strong word. I shouldn't use that word. And they could even hear me if they were like listening through the vents or something. So maybe I should keep my voice down. But I really dislike them. I got a whole nother year of them, though. That's the problem. I was hoping like they'd like just I'd come back from California and they'd just be gone, you know.
when did they sign their last lease?
Well, actually, they haven't signed it yet, but they did, like, when they moved in, like, they gave first and last month's rent, and, like, the last month would be this month, and they wanted to sign a two-year, and I was like, no, I can't make that kind of commitment. So,
you know who you're talking to?
Yeah, no, yeah, so, like, we're like, we'll see how things work out, right? So, but, they, you know, I'm thinking, you know, because, like, I don't want to go into it. But, like the rent's never on time. You know, like, the rent's due on the 1st, you get it on the 10th. And then they're like, oh, we're only 5 days late. No, you're really 10 days late. But anyway, like, they're just ignorant. Like, they leave trash around. Like, don't pick up after themselves. Like, it's just, oh, God. They leave the door open all the time. That drives me nuts. I was spoiled. I had really good tenants last time. I was spoiled. I didn't even realize it. Now I know. You always figure out life like after the fact.
Yeah.
I had it really good.
Yeah.
Like they're just loud and stuff. Like I'm biased, but I'm like perfect, right? Like I don't make.
Wow.
I might be exaggerating a little bit, but like I take care of my own. I take care of my own stuff. I mean, I own the building, but I take care of my stuff. Like I don't bother anybody. Like I don't. I mean, I'm not. I mean, it's not loud. Like, you know, there's not like loud music and people stomping through the house all the time. I'm not. It doesn't get loud. Like, I mean, I'm very quiet. I mean, occasionally.
I think you're confusing perfect with self-contained.
I'm self-contained.
Those are two very different things, Bob.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. They're just so loud. Like, and I'm not like, I don't make a lot of noise. I mean, occasionally, like when I masturbate, it can get kind of loud. But other than that, you know, other than that, it's like. I'm not making noise.
I'm going to let that one just go. I'm just going to let that one float into the abyss without touching it.
Oh, as an update, let's move. Okay, we'll move. If you want to move on, I can expound on that. I don't care. As an update for the people that did listen to our last show back in December, remember how Superstar and I had the whole exchange back and forth about how we were going to take the train down to St. Louis for a little weekend excursion in St. Louis and actually catching the Blackhawks play at Scott Trade against the Blues on the December 28th. Well, as an update, Chris Block did, in fact, indeed, yes, he did, miss the train to St. Louis. Oh. By like a few minutes. By a few minutes.
By a few minutes? Oh, okay, if that was a few minutes, then yeah. So once again, I would just like to expound on you cannot be on time for anything.
Hey, I made the bus to the casino for your birthday.
You did. I'm calling that an enigma. I think we got to try that again. Two out of three.
And then you were so mad at me. Like, I didn't ask you to miss the train. I would have driven down. You like, you got in the car. You're so angry. I didn't ask you to, like, miss the train. You could take the train down. I'd just meet you down there.
Well, yeah, but that's, you know, oh, do I let this jerk-off drive all the way down, and I want to sit on the train all the way down, each by ourselves? Or do I just drive down with it?
I would have predicted that you took the train. I was shocked. You were like, "Come to Union Station." I'm like, "Why would I come to Union Station? I'm not going to the train. I'm late. I'm not going to get on the train. Why am I going there? Meet me out front." I'm like, "Oh."
And then even after you met me out front, you drove right by me.
Because I was on the phone. Like, I was on the phone. I wasn't paying any attention. I figured you'd just, like, pop out.
I was standing there. And
there he is. There. Just like,
there he is. And then he dropped
like,
right by
the street.
I literally was like, this guy's fucking with me now. He knows I'm pissed off. He's just fucking with me now. Ugh. But, yeah, that was a fun trip as well.
The AHL All-Star whatever is final. The AHL All-Stars defeated Farstad 7-2. So, Brandon Peary finished with two goals and an assist. He is the high point getter for the AHL. Ryan Strome also had two goals, but looks as though Brandon Peary is going to be your MVP, which is just going to send Blackhawks fans into a tizzy. And it ain't going to make a damn bit of difference.
No, it's not.
I want to talk about the Blackhawks and specifically, I had a moment at Staples Center a couple of weeks ago, Superstar. I don't think I told you about this. You were there, but I didn't talk to you about this. You know, a funny story is like Superstar and I were with some other people at Staples Center that night, and like as a giveaway after the Blackhawks destroyed the LA Kings, as a giveaway as we're walking out, they're handing all the fans leaving the Staples Center these posters, and the poster was the LA Kings Olympic representatives. So you know, you had Anze Kopitar, Drew Doughty, you know, Dustin Brown, and like I saw these posters and I was so excited. Now, mind you, I was drunk, but I saw these posters and I was so excited. I was like, oh my God, Dustin Brown, like he's the greatest player in the world, which I would think even when I'm not drunk. As everyone that's ever played fantasy hockey with us knows, Dustin Brown's always on my team because I need the biggest pricks in the league on my team because this is what I do. So, but he's good at it. That's why he's on my team. But I saw these posters and I was like, oh my God. And I was so happy. I was like a 10-year-old kid again. I was like, an LA Kings Olympic. I'm going to frame this. I'm going to put it on my wall. You know, I'm like, this is so cool. And then we like take 10 steps outside the Staples Center and I realize, how am I going to get this home without folding it? Like, I'm not going to the FedEx and getting a poster tube and then carrying it. I'm like, I'm not going to put that much effort into it. I don't like Dustin Brown that much. You know. So it's like when I finally left California, I'm like, yeah, you know, you just toss those posters in the recycling bin. I was so upset. But they were so cool. Like, I don't think the Blackhawks would think to do anything like that. Oh, but anyway, so we're at the Staples Center. Now, you've been to the Staples Center before, but it's been a while. So what were your impressions of the Staples Center?
With it being the Blackhawks and the Blackhawks traveling as well as they do, and essentially, I don't know, what would you say? It was as close to a 50-50 crowd as I've ever been to.
If it wasn't 50-50 Blackhawks Kings fans, which it probably wasn't, it's like you said, it's as close as you're going to get on the road.
Yeah, I mean, it was
in a market where it's hard to get tickets because like it's not like the Blackhawks circa 2005 when the Red Wings fans could just buy 10,000 tickets on Ticketmaster. I mean, you have to work to get these tickets.
Right, right. And so, I mean, I think that really added to the atmosphere of the building, the fact that it was, you know, very much a neutral crowd. The one thing that I know I mentioned to you and with Staples Center being kind of in that LA Live district and them hosting a lot of other events that doesn't relate to sports, being the Lakers or the Kings or the Clippers. When you walk around the Staples Center, especially the concourse, there's not a lot of posters or plaques or anything. It's as far as the home teams, it's a very neutral building. You know, when you walk around the United Center for a hockey game, there's the player banners when you walk in. You know you're walking into a Chicago Blackhawk game. This was, it's so neutral that it was very bizarre walking around the concourse. The building itself is gorgeous. I think they did, obviously the building's been, all over 10 years now? Well, it's a great building if you get a chance to go see a game.
Yeah, I love Staples Center. Like, you talk about all the stuff that is to do around there. When I was there a couple of months ago, right around Thanksgiving, and we went to we're out there for the Pearl Jam concerts. Not you, but were out there for the Pearl Jam concerts, and on a Sunday afternoon, the Clippers were hosting the Chicago Bulls. So, you know, my buddy out there in California is a huge Bulls fan, wanted to go. So we pick up tickets the day before through a reseller. And we went to that, and it's like the L.A. Auto Show is right next to it. So it's like we park, and then we go to the L.A. Auto Show. And then like the American Music Awards or something were going on that night, and that's directly – I mean, that's like you walk out of the Staples Center, you take 10 steps, and then you're right at the Nokia Theater where that was going on. The Lakers were playing that night. So like there's all this stuff going on, and then 2 miles down the road at USC, Pearl Jam was happening. So it's like, yeah, that area is just there's so much to do. What struck me was, and I had never done this before, where we parked down in the parking garage sub-level, and it's only like one level. It's not like people here in Chicago when you go downtown and a parking garage will go up, you know, 13, 14 stories. Like, it's just you drive down like one level, sub-level, and there's just a parking garage. And we didn't even get there that early. We got there – we walked into the building during warm-ups. But, like, we went down there and we found a spot. I mean, and then, like, you go upstairs and, like, you go up – this would never happen in Chicago. You go up an escalator and then you're immediately in all of this L.A. Live stuff, which is, like, all bars. There's, like, a bowling alley, all these different restaurants. But the thing was, like, we came – like, not so much – like, there weren't any – well, there were a couple Blackhawks fans that we saw down in the parking garage. But, like, as soon as we came up into the L.A. Live court, like, there were Blackhawks fans everywhere. Everywhere. You know, you see them in the restaurants. They're sitting outside in the courtyard because the weather was that good. Like, you're sitting outside at 6:30 at night eating and having beers and stuff. And, like, we didn't do that night. But it was kind of surreal, like, because I've been to games at Staples Center before the Blackhawks got hot, you know. Like, I remember when John McDonough first took over, and I saw Thanksgiving weekend, I saw the Kings play, or maybe it was Thanksgiving, LA was out there playing, the Blackhawks were out there playing LA, and there were a lot of Blackhawks fans because there's a lot of transplants. I mean, that's why you see so many in Phoenix and also in LA, just because there's so many Chicagoans that migrate to those areas. But I mean, so you always see them, but now it's like it's so prevalent. Like, we were walking around the concourse, and it's not just transplanted Chicagoans. I was seeing faces that I recognized from the United Center, like just walking around on the concourse. And it really, I had this feeling, as, you know, as someone that goes to a ton of Blackhawks games, not just at United Center, but also, you know, around the country. And I just got this feeling that it's not going to get any better than this, you know? So I think, I guess where I, and I just kind of, I was thinking about this on the plane ride home, actually, you know, and we're like kind of sitting there, and I'm like, you know, Blackhawks fans are like, and this is hockey fans in general, but they're kind of just like terminally pissed off, right? They're never satisfied about anything. They don't want anybody watching or commenting on their sport. You know, nobody's opinions are valid. Everybody else is stupid but themselves, you know. It's like, take a step back and I think just kind of enjoy what's going on right now. And I'm not the first person to say this, but if I'm saying it, you know, like, I just got this, you know, being out at these games in St. Louis too. Remember that game? Well, I don't know. You might not remember it, but that game in St. Louis, I mean, I think my gut feeling is we're at the peak right now of what this can be. I don't know that hockey can get any bigger than this, and like, and just enjoy it. Like, cause I was just kind of taking a, you know, I'm just, you know, standing there and mind my own business at the Staples Center, you know, drinking beers, talking to people, you and people we're with, and, you know, just people watching, making fun of everybody that walks by, like what we do. And like, it just kind of grabbed me that it's not going to get any better than this. So, like, take a second every once in a while just to enjoy it and not be so, like, I don't know, just be grateful that it's gotten here. You know, like Hockey Night, you know, I used to, when I was doing, not that I don't do them anymore, but when I do Hockey Night podcasts the last few times or, you know, whenever, like Forklift, you know, asked the question, he says, are we in the golden era of Chicago Blackhawks hockey? And without question to me now, you know, this was before, he asked me this before they won the second cup, but this past year, but I mean, without question, they are. Because, I mean, number one, Patrick Kane's the best Blackhawk player ever. You know, and I didn't see Bobby Hull play, and I'm sure there are people that would disagree with that. But, all right, the second best, if you don't want to argue that he's the best. I mean, Patrick Kane does stuff on the ice that no one else can even attempt. I mean, to me, yeah, Jonathan Toews may be a more complete player, but people, you can't. And we saw, obviously, that night, we saw him the night that he found out that his paternal grandfather died. And he came out, like, we didn't know that. Well, we were sitting there watching. We didn't know that. And it's not like we're sitting there, like, staring at our phones and reading Twitter while the game's going on. No, we're watching the game. So we don't know any of this. And, like, we were, like, turned to each other, like, he's a man possessed. Like, no one could touch him that night. You know?
And that was, I mean, that was 20 seconds into the game.
You can 20 tell seconds in the game, he gets the puck on a stick, he walks around two guys, and it's like, oh boy, this is a Patrick Kane game. And it was. And we didn't even know. But I just had that feeling. I was kind of, I don't know why I've never really had that moment before. I guess because, you know, when you go to all the Hawks home games and stuff, like you're just kind of, it's a routine and you're just kind of used to it. And then I think really, you know, going to these games out in the West Coast and the game in St. Louis, it's like, wow, you know, like this is Blackhawks right now, the whole thing. It's everything. It's the team that they put on the ice. It's the scouting staff. It's you know, you got to give credit to John McDonough. It's the management. It's the direction. It's the fan base. This is powerful right now. I mean, I'm kind of in awe of it. You know, that the whole thing together, and I mean, I there's no question in my mind right now that this is the peak. You know, and
you mentioned, you know, is this the golden age? And obviously, I agree. I think it is. And I don't know if there's a way they could sustain such a high level. Going forward, I'm talking not just the next 2, 3, 4 years. I'm talking, you know, the Detroit Red Wings 20, 25-year stretch, you know, they can maintain it this way. But here's what I'll say. They were run so poorly and so badly that you got to remember, even if there is a drop-off, it's still going to be 100 times better than what we were used to in the old regime. You know, as far as management and the organization top to bottom, you know, even if the play does drop off on the ice, you know, down the line, it's still going to be 100 times better than it was, you know, back in the dark days.
Yeah, but I think while that's true, I think if I have a concern about Blackhawks fans, you know, as a group, and where, because everything, this is all come so quickly, right? Where it came from a place that not only were people not interested because the team was bad, but you were so turned off as a Blackhawk fan by how you were treated. And because, you know, if you were like, well, I'm not spending money on this team, but I'll sit home and watch it because I like hockey. You couldn't even do that because of how disrespected or, you know, whatever you were by the ownership, right? And I mean, it literally overnight, basically, that changed. That mentality changed, and they, you know, the wheels were set in motion pretty quickly to turn that thing around. And a year later, all the games were on television, right? And immediately, it's a franchise turning around, getting good. It's, you know, and people get on board, and it's exciting. And you went through that process of, okay, you won it, but then you had to battle back and win it again. But because fan bases can be cyclical, and it's like anything can be cyclical. I mean, people, they jump on their favorite TV show and they watch it for, you know, 3-4 seasons, and then it becomes old and played out, right? Well, fan bases are like that too. And, you know, some people say, oh, well, you get jaded because you have a winner and all that. I don't know. I think people just get tired of things sometimes. So I no matter where it goes from here, whether they're a sustained level of success, whether they're at that second round of the playoff, conference final, Stanley, you know, everyone's going to get up for a Stanley Cup final. Everybody will jump on board for that. But if you have a sustained level of success, I still see the interest level dropping. Beginning probably next year a little bit and then fading off, with the peaks being, can you get back to the Stanley Cup again? Because it's just, you know, the perfect storm happens and then everybody jumps on board and there's so much excitement. It can only go down from here. And that's why I say that this is the peak. I really do believe that. Right now, this is the peak. I believe that.
I would agree with that.
Well, good. Not that you have to. You could disagree with me if you want. You do all – every time we go on a trip, you disagree with me all weekend. Then we get on the show. You're like, yeah, I agree with that. What you need to do is drink like a case of beer and then do the show.
I'll try that next month.
2 months from now, we're bi-monthly.
Oh, 2 months. Bi-month, yeah, okay. So come April when we do our, you know, down the stretch run show, I'll do that.
The official score sheet anyway doesn't list the AHL All-Stars, or the all three stars of the game. But anyway, that should be coming in any minute. Forrestad doesn't have any interesting players on it. Like, really, like, ex-NHL players. They got a couple. Sean Bell, he's a defenseman. He played for Edmonton, Montreal a little bit. Black defenseman. Black guy defenseman. I don't know if that's, but anyway, he's kind of a big guy. I think he was drafted, he was a first rounder. He was drafted by St. Louis like 10 years ago. Probably 10 years ago. He didn't end up playing with them, though. He's on that team. And then Dylan Olsen's teammate on Minnesota Duluth, Dylan Olsen left the season that Minnesota Duluth ended up winning the national championship in the Frozen Four. But Jack Connolly, a little center, he plays for Forrestad. And then Richard Wallin. He scored a goal tonight. Richard Wallin's like a center, left wing kind of guy. His career started in Phoenix. He didn't play much in the NHL. People remember Richard Wallin for most recently. I think it was 2010. He played for Toronto. Richard Wallin was the guy. He was on Forrestad. I think Forrestad won the Swedish Elite League at the time. It was called. Just changed its name this year to the Swedish Hockey League. Forrestad won the championship, and then Toronto went and signed the monster, Jonas Gustafsson, and Richard Wallin. Richard Wallin came back to the NHL. That was underwhelming. I remember that. I think Toronto was terrible that season, as they have been for the last 50 years for the most part. And then he went – after that, he went back. But, Richard Wallin. I guess Richard Wallin would be most remembered as the guy that was traded for Joey Junot. I don't know if everybody remembers this, but when Minnesota came into the league, superstar, I don't know if you remember this. When Minnesota came into the league, this was funny, I remember this. Minnesota came into the league, they had the expansion draft, right? And Minnesota drafted Joey Junot. And they draft him. And then they immediately traded him. Like, what was the point of that? they pick him in the expansion draft. I forget where they got him from. Off the top of my head, I do not remember where they got him from. But they get Joey Juneau in the expansion draft, and then the next day they trade him for Richard Wallin. But they didn't even trade him for Richard Wallin because Richard Wallin was still playing in Sweden. So they traded him for his rights. So Joey Juneau winds up on Phoenix. He plays the whole season with Phoenix, and then he ended up finishing his career with Montreal for a few seasons. But Joey Juneau has this great season, and then Wallin, all he ever did was play for the Houston Arrows. He was a good minor league player, but dang it. I don't know why any of that was important, but I don't know.
I was like, we spend way too much time on Richard Wallin.
Richard Wallin. Maybe people were interested. I don't know. No, nobody was interested in that.
Richard Wallin wasn't even interested in that conversation.
Don't worry. I'll go back and erase that part. All right, Rockford IceHogs. Now that the AHL All-Star Game is over, we can get to the Rockford IceHogs. Like I said, Rockford had a big weekend over the last, and a lot of people are excited about it. I got to tell you, Rockford right now, if you look at the Western Conference standings in the AHL, Rockford sits in seventh place right now with a record of 24-21. 4-2, because in the AHL, I wish the NHL would do this. I mean, they make everything complicated enough. Why not break out the overtime and the shootout losses? That's what the AHL does. So Rockford's got 24 wins, which they don't separate shootout wins, which they should do too. But that's you gotta simplify things for people. But they got 21 losses in regulation, and then they've got four, Rockford does, they've got four overtime losses, and then they lost twice in the shootout. I wish the NHL would do that. Instead, you got to go and you have to look at their overtime record to see. It's like, just put it in the standings. Who cares? You've already got the system where no one, you got to sit there and stare, and then you go to the NHL.com, and you got to look at the thing for 5 minutes before you're like, okay, all right, I know who can make the playoffs, and I understand this wild card thing, but who the hell plays who? No one knows. God, the NHL's so stupid. Anyway, the problem that Rockford has, though, is they're fourth in their division, but they have I mentioned this earlier, their percentage of points earned is the worst in their division. So while they sit there in fourth, that's because they played the most games of anybody in the Western Conference, Rockford has. They've got 51 games. The team sitting immediately behind them in the West, not in the division, but in the conference, in the eighth spot is Rochester. Rochester has 5 games in hand on Rockford. So you're really looking right now, the way it looks, at Rockford in the eighth spot. Imagine that they're in the eighth spot and they're battling to stay in, because that's where they're going to be. And that's important because the team immediately behind them then, if you imagine them in the eighth spot, which after Rochester gets its games in hand, they're not going to be in eight anymore. So Rockford will slide down. The Iowa Wild fall into ninth. Now, the Iowa Wild is the team that Rockford just trounced over the weekend. However, Rockford is a – so far this season, they have not fared well against their own division, which is trouble, superstar, because 19 of the 25 games that they have remaining are against their own division. And – when you look at outside their division, one of the games they have left is against Rochester, which I mentioned is the team that sits next to them in the standings. So that's important. And then they also have 2 games against the Abbotsford Heat, which the Abbotsford Heat are the best team in the West. So this is a tough road for the IceHogs, but the good thing for them is that they hold their fate in their own hands. If they can handle their own business in their own division, they should make it, and there shouldn't be a problem. Now, Pierre-Marc Bouchard, we haven't mentioned this yet, but the trade that the Blackhawks made with Peter Ragan and Pierre-Marc Bouchard coming over to from the Islanders for a fourth-round pick. At first blush, it doesn't look like much of a deal. You don't really – it's like, well, what are they doing? Who's Peter Regan? Where is he going to play? You know, I think there's a lot of people that think that, oh, he's here to kick Brandon Bolick out of the lineup or something. I don't – whatever people think. Pierre-Marc Bouchard is an AHL rental. And I think that getting back to Brandon Peary is very much in play, obviously, because the Blackhawks have to be looking at this as a if you're not convinced that Brandon Peary is going to be a part of your top 12 coming out of training camp next year, then at some point you've got to move Brandon Peary. Because if Brandon Peary gets cut from training camp, or if you're in training camp and you're Stan Bowman and you say, you know, come next September, and you're saying to yourself, I'm still not convinced about this Brandon Peary, or, you know, his skating is still the same. And because, I mean, that's his skating is the biggest issue when they talk about his defense. I mean, I think they're more, and that's the kind way of saying that his skating isn't up to snuff, but whatever. You know, if you're not convinced about him, or if you're not going to make, if he's not going to make the team, and you're calling around to these other GMs and you can't swing a deal because those GMs are like, well, either he's going to rot on their roster or they're going to put him on waivers and we'll just pluck him up then. But maybe you can get a team that'll think, well, you know, we're pretty down on that, far on that waiver list, so let's swing a deal. But if you can't count on that, right? So Brandon Peary, let's just say the Blackhawks have decided that he's not going to be a part of the mix. Brandon Peary, at some point before next season, has got to be moved. Now, he does not have to be traded by this trade deadline. That doesn't have to happen. In fact, if you're Stan Bowman, you could argue, one would argue, I would argue, that it would be more, it would behoove you, and it would be better served to keep Brandon Peary around in case you have injuries and you need someone to center a line that needs offense during the playoffs. The problem with that is, you know, it's like, and I talked about this the last time, this is the thing that people don't understand about why Brandon Peary keeps getting sent back to Rockford. And, you know, if you're in the Stan Bowman is a genius camp, then you need to take 5 minutes, sit back and understand why he does some of the things he does. And Brandon Peary and Jeremy Moore are in the final year of their entry-level deals. Now, Stan Bowman is the general manager of a team that's going to be a cap team. It'll always be a cap team. Until the salary cap is $150 million, he's probably going to be a cap team, right around there every year. Or far enough close to it, or close enough to it, that he has to be smart about who he signs, for how much he signs that player, and how much he allocates to certain spots in the roster. Some of the decisions about putting this team this year together were taken out of Stan Bowman's hands, and the idea that the management had, Blackhawks upper management had, about bringing everyone back within reason. You didn't need to bring Ray Emery back. Obviously, you weren't going to bring Victor Stahlberg back. But everybody within reason to bring back the team, because you had an opportunity to bring back the team. That was the mentality. The mentality was, well, if we don't bring the whole team back and we don't repeat, then we're all these questions going to be like, well, why didn't you bring back the team? You know, that played into it too. So Stan Bowman wasn't allowed to make certain hockey decisions on his own. Some of the things were, you know, kind of taken out of his hands. But with the deck that he has that was laid out for him, the deck that he has to play, he has to be careful not just now, but in how he looks at next year. I think everything that Bowman is doing with Peary and Morin is with eyes towards the next year. If you're in the last year of your entry-level contract, and this is moving forward, if you're in the last year of your entry, you are going to have to blow the doors down when you're in the Blackhawks lineup in order to stay there. Because, I mean, the simple fact is, the more games that Brandon Peary plays in the NHL, And the better he does means the more bargaining power he has on his next contract. So, you know, are you looking at, and it could still happen. I mean, an injury could happen. He could wind up in the lineup in the playoffs. He could have a great playoff. And instead of re-signing Brandon Peary for $1 million, you know, $850,000 or whatever you think you're going to sign Brandon Peary for, all of a sudden now you're looking at Brandon Peary making $2 million. And as we look at just look at it this year, like, I mean, $1 million is going to make a huge difference on what the Blackhawks are able to do. So that's what Stan Bowman's doing. Stan Bowman said, well, we're going to give this kid a chance because, quite frankly, we could use someone to play with Patrick Kane. But when he tails off and he's on the verge of being sat out of the lineup, and he does get sat out of the lineup, he's going to send him right back to Rockford. Nothing is going to be handed to a player in the final year of his entry. You know, and I've said this before. We talked about it at the beginning of the season. Just looking at it without any restraints, yes, obviously you'd want to put Brandon Peary in that second-line center spot for 25 games and just let him play. But this isn't 2006 anymore for the Blackhawks. You're not just handing players. There's no gift ice time here. And that's moving forward. If you're a Blackhawks prospect, you better make this team in the first year of your deal or the second year. Or if you have a slide on your entry, you better make it in the third, because it's going to be hell to make that team in your contract year just for that fact. You're not just going to be, oh, well, do we go out and sign, you know, somebody to fill that spot, or do we just hand it over to Brandon Peary? You're not going to get anything handed over to you. And that's the situation that it is. I mean, it's sort of disappointing when you hear the stuff that comes out of Joel's mouth about, oh, well, he needs to work on his defense. I mean, that's bullshit. I'm sorry, Joel, but that has nothing to do with it. Brandon Peary had a chance on the second line. He did well. And then he tapered off. Like he said in that interview that I did with him, I don't know if that part, I aired that part or not, but he admitted in the interview I did with him, you know, he was going well and then it tapered off. Tapered off on the second line, then he got put on the third line. And we've talked about it before. The Blackhawks' third line is not the checking line. The third line has just got to hang in there, contribute. That's all it's got to do. And Brandon Peary centering that third line didn't happen. So I like Brandon Peary personally. I think he's a nice enough kid. But you gotta be better. When you get that opportunity to play at the NHL and you're in the position that he is, you gotta be better. And if you're not, then I can't feel sorry for you. And he's gotten the opportunities, and you know, it's all he has to do is help contribute offensively, and he'll be there. He's not terrible defensively. His biggest problem defensively is his skating. It's that awkward skating stride and the fact that it takes him a little bit longer to get to the spots that he needs to be than it should. And that all goes back to skating. So, I mean, that's, it disappoints me when I, you know, that message is out there, and then it's like the media starts repeating it. Oh, well, Brandon Peary's not here because he has to work on his defense. It's like, no, that's not what it is. You know, it's the contract year. And it's the fact that he's not blowing the door down, and you know, it's part of that is a skate. He's still a prospect, and I, you know, maybe they hang on to him and they roll the dice next year. I don't know, but you know, I would with him more than I would Jeremy Morin, and I've talked to this to a lot of people about this, and of course I jinxed it again, because last week I was talking to a bunch of people about Jeremy Morin. Jeremy Morin went out on Saturday and had a hat trick. So, like, but I still maintain this. The most disappointing player in Rockford this year to me is Jeremy Morin. Because Jeremy Morin should be a more of a force on the penalty kill. He's been on it lately. But that Jeremy Morin should be a take-charge player at this stage of the game. He should be a take-charge player. He should be a leader in every sense. And I haven't seen that from him this year. Yeah, he's a guy that wants the puck on a stick. Yeah, he's a guy that wants to score goals. But he tries to, if this sounds silly, but he tries too hard to do that because he tries to do it too much on his own. And, he doesn't use his teammates enough. But it's just, to me, Jeremy Morin is the most disappointing guy. So if there's, I know a lot of people are hot right now on the, Brandon Peary's a goner. I wouldn't go in that direction. If I had to choose one or the other, I would trade Jeremy Morin. Now, that being said, is the rate of return on those, one of those two, going to be better now or, versus the off season? Again, a lot of things can happen. The Blackhawks haven't had a ton of injuries. They've had injuries here and there, but it's not like, it's not like you look at the Red Wings, where half the Grand Rapids Griffins have had extended stays on the Red Wings already this season. That hasn't happened this year to the Blackhawks, but it could happen. It could happen down the stretch. It could happen in the playoffs. And if Jeremy Morin and Brandon Peary do get time down the stretch or in the playoffs, they become more valuable. I think there's a lot of things you got to think about when you're Stan Bowman, and can you make a deal to improve the team? Is there enough cap space for you to be able to improve the team that you can make a deal legally within the cap before the end of the end of the trade deadline where it expands? But you got to be within that beforehand. Can you make a deal that makes sense, that improves your team? And if so, and if you're confident that that makes you a better playoff team and a better cup contender, then you can sacrifice a Jeremy Morin. But if you're not that confident in the deal, then you hold on to those guys because they could become more valuable just in, staying. And then you have the whole thing, getting back to the Rockford IceHogs more specifically, about at some point, this minor league team needs to have success. I think part of the problem, part of the issue with these guys, Peary and Morin, is that they've been playing in Rockford and they haven't had team success. Yeah, they've dug themselves a hole in the regular season and they've finished off great and everybody heads off into the spring and into the off season, feeling really good about themselves, and then wash, rinse, repeat the next season. That's not good enough. That's got to change. And that's one of the reasons why Bouchard was brought in as a minor league rental. And maybe you keep this Rockford team together and through what you hope would be playoff success, Morin and Peary become more valuable. That's something to think about too. So I don't think it's a given that either one of them are goners by the trade deadline. Again, it depends on the return, but I would lean towards neither of them are going anywhere until the summer if they do get dealt. And the other thing to consider here, and again, the IceHogs, 19 of the last 25 are in the division. That's tough. It's two games against Grand Rapids, which are the division leader. Rockford has not fared well against the Griffins this year. They played them tight in a couple of games, but overall have not done well against the Griffins. Seven games left with the Chicago Wolves starting this Friday night, Valentine's night in Rockford. Six against the Milwaukee Admirals, and then four, and which are two of them are this weekend, both in Des Moines. Rockford's got a 3-3 this weekend. Starts with the Wolves at the BMO on Friday. Then they bus off to Des Moines for a back-to-back set in Des Moines Saturday and Sunday. So they get rid of two of those this weekend. So it's not a lot of travel, but it's a lot of tough divisional matchups. The Midwest division is very competitive, and obviously Rockford has done the worst in the division so far. So they control their own destiny, but I also think, how Rockford finishes this season. A lot of people ask me all the time about Ted Dent. I like Ted. He's good to deal with, and I think he's a good coach. Is he a better assistant than he is a head? I don't know. How Rockford finishes the season, I think, will define Ted Dent. And when I say define, it could also define his future with the organization. The IceHogs have to make the playoffs. They have to make the playoffs. Now, that can change if something happens and the Blackhawks unload Perry and Morin, which, again, I don't think is going to happen. But, you know, the game changes if that happens. The game changes if there's a bunch of injuries and four or five guys go up to Chicago, of course. But if the thing stays the course as it is now, Ted Dent has to make the playoffs, or I think he's done. Nothing anybody's told me, but just that's just how I see the thing. But they've got to get that penalty kill. And that penalty kill's not on Ted Dent, although Ted should probably take better ownership of it. Marco Seki, the assistant coach, runs the PK, but Ted's got to take better ownership of that thing because that thing has been bad all season. And they make excuses for that thing all the time, but it's bad. And they're not going to make the playoffs if they don't turn it around. It's the worst PK in the AHL. And, I mean, there's two constants that there's been all season long with the IceHogs. It's their PK is bad, and their second periods are bad. And no matter what I think of Ted, they've got to turn those two things around, or he should go. So that's that. A couple more news and news items on the IceHogs, if I have. Well, anyway, I don't know. Off the top of my head, Brett Skinner, I mentioned this in an article a couple of weeks ago. Brett Skinner was signed to the IceHogs on a professional tryout contract. He had that contract extended another 25 games. That's the max. You can only play 50 games with one team on a professional tryout in one season. The interesting note about that is that Brett Skinner's contract now will end 5 games before the regular season ends. We're going to jump into a listener email here in a second, which could mean that they expect to bring in some people and maybe they can just say goodbye to Brett Skinner at that point. I would tend to think not. I think it's interesting, though, that they didn't sign him to a contract because if you expect to make the playoffs, of course you're going to keep Brett Skinner around. I mean, they play Skinner more than they do Theo Pekka, so why would you not? I mean, unless it's an issue about money, but it's not that big of a difference. You know, if Skinner is willing to stay around at whatever he's being paid, just sign him to a contract. So that's an interesting note. We're going to do a couple emails, Superstar. Are you excited about that?
Are we actually going to get to them?
No, we're going to do them right now.
All right.
Okay. This one is from Grapevine, Texas. David, Grapevine, Texas. Grapevine is the International Parkway runs through Grapevine, Texas, does it not?
I have no idea.
Grapevine is, it's been a long time for me, but Grapevine runs, Grapevine, Texas is right next to where the Cowboys play. I don't know if it's Tarrant County. Is it Tarrant County or Denton? Tarrant County is Fort Worth, so I guess that would be Denton. I don't know. David, email me and tell me where you live. anyway, David in Grapevine, Texas. I'm assuming you saw the article on ChicagoBlackhawks.com today on Stephen Johns and Vincent Hinostroza. From what was said, it's believed Johns is headed for Rockford after his season is over. Are you still hearing Johns is going straight to the NHL at the end of his senior season, or is this the new word? I haven't heard anything on Johns one way or another in a while. I didn't know, David, about the article until you emailed me. I don't spend much time on ChicagoBlackhawks.com, to be totally honest with you. Published on, what's today, the 12th? Today's the 12th?
Yes.
We're taping this on Wednesday night for everyone that's listening in the archives. So, yeah, this was published on Tuesday. Brian Hedger, NHL.com, wrote the article. Barry Smith was the one that was quoted. And if not Barry Smith, who said, I read the article, and it said, it's Brian Hedger's words. The Blackhawks will likely contact Johns whenever his season is over and career ends with Notre Dame. The next stop likely will be a stint with the Rockford IceHogs of the American Hockey League later this season. I love how we're pretending that the Blackhawks will figure this all out after his college season ends. This has all been taken care of already. Not legally, like not on paper, but this has all been determined. I mean, I don't know. It depends. I'm going to get Al Smaglia on not this week. Probably next, either over the weekend or next week. And Al and I got to do some serious hockey talk, superstar. Not like you and I do.
No.
Serious. Yeah. Not like happens on this show. But I talked to Al the other day, and Al and I are going to fight. There's a couple of topics that Al and I could not be farther apart on, and we both agreed that we are going to come on the show and we're going to have a fight.
That must listen to radio.
Yes, and one of them is I'll just give everyone a tease. One involves number 29 on the Chicago Blackhawks. I mean, it all depends. I mean, as far as Johns goes, it all depends where the Blackhawks sit. Like I said before, I've talked about this on past shows. I don't know if I've mentioned it in print or not. I don't really write that much. someone came up to me at the wake that I was at. A guy that I work with, his father just passed away. And I'm standing there at the wake tonight. And, well, first of all, superstar, I got a letter today from Waste Management. This is completely off topic, obviously. So I get a letter from Waste Management, and we have at work at our main office, which I'm working at almost all the time now. So I'm handling this to Waste Management. Our garbage isn't picked up by the city. It's picked up by Waste Management. So Waste Management comes by two separate times every week and picks up our recycling and then picks up our garbage. Well, the idiots, we asked them to come and put a lock on our recycling bin because, you know, people from the neighborhood come by and people are always dumping, right? So, like, they'll just, like, throw, like toilet bowls and roofing materials and stuff. And sometimes they'll just toss it by the garbage can, but other times they'll actually throw it. But when you throw this kind of material inside of our recycling bin, we get ticketed for it because then the recycling people come over and they're like, hey, we can't take this. This has got wood and carpet in it, you know, or whatever. So I get so I asked Waste Management to come out and put a lock on it. They did put a lock on one of the bins, but they put a lock on the garbage bin. Well, what happens? Someone comes by and throws garbage in our recycling because the lock is on the wrong thing. Anyway, I get a letter from Waste Management today, and they ticketed us. Forget this, right? This is the way they worded it. We got a $175 ticket for a contaminated load. I'm like 12 years old, superstar. I was amused by this all day. I was just walking around, contaminated load. I was just walking around Chris, all day.
Oh, Chris Block works here? Yep, we definitely got the right place.
Yeah, contaminated load. I was just chuckling to myself all day long. So I'm walking around at the wake, and this is awful, but I'm like, I'm like standing around. Like, I know people there, and, you know, that one person actually came up to me, hey, when are you going to do a show? I'm like, actually, after the prayer tonight, why don't you hustle on home and get in front of your computer? Because there's not a people. But anyway, so, so I'm standing there, I had like a moment by myself, and what comes to my head? Contaminated load. So I started like chuckling like a little bit. Like people are like, who is this guy? Get him out of here. What's so funny? You know. Anyway. What was I talking about again?
Waste management.
Waste management? No, it was before that.
The way somebody came up to you,
Stephen Johns, speaking of contaminated load. anyway, Stephen Johns, like, if the situation is at the end of the season that, you know, the Blackhawks still have 8 healthy defensemen, then I'm sure he's going to get sent to Rockford. What I've talked about before in the past, it's like the issue with getting Stephen Johns out of Rockford or out of Notre Dame had more to do with the fact that he didn't want to leave Notre Dame to play AHL hockey. You know, and they gave different reasons for it in this article, but you know, I mean, and we've chronicled this before. Stephen Johns said an awful lot about, you know, I mean, he was, you know. The point is, eventually Stephen Johns will come out of college. He's going to have to because it's his senior season, so he's going to come out after this is over. Maybe he'll spend a little bit of time in Rockford. Maybe he won't, but he's on the Blackhawks next year. I mean, at the latest. I mean, they're certain of it. I mean, I've talked to them. They're certain of it, and you know, so we'll see what happens. But you know, maybe he gets here and he. He sucks, and then everyone will get to say about how wrong I am. So you can look forward to that. Oh, God damn it. This one is from Lauren in Oswego. Oswego, good old Oswego. Didn't we drive through Oswego on our way back from St. Louis? Well, we got detoured off 55. We got off 55. We got off 55 because we had to pee, and then we tried to get back on 55, and they're not letting anybody on 55. So we had to take an 18-mile detour to get to 80 so we could go, oh, God. All I wanted to do was get home. We stopped in Bloomington. We stopped in Bloomington for 5 hours to watch that awful Bear-Packers game. Anyway, Lauren and Oswego. I dated a woman from Oswego for a little bit.
Yes, you did recently.
Until she decided one day and told me that she didn't think I was the one. Can you believe the nerve? Can you believe the nerve of that woman?
It's not something you've. It wasn't the first time you were told that, I'm sure.
I'm not the one. I'm the only one. I'm just like Melissa Etheridge. Well, not just like her. That was Melissa Etheridge, right? She did that song.
I believe so, yes.
Anyway, Lauren from Oswego. I didn't date her. Not yet. So, hey, Chris, your boy Beachy is proving to be more of a bust each day. How is he my boy?
I love that it's now your boy.
My boy, because I'm the only one that talked, that interviewed him and talked about him and gave him a fair chance and all this. Now he's my boy. Anyway, your boy Beachy is proving to be more a bust each day. Do you still see hope for him? I see, this is her words, I see his career fading off into the sunset this offseason. Well, that very well may happen, Lauren. Future Oswego girlfriend of mine. That drive sucks, by the way.
get up at
6 o'clock and then go meet your girlfriend in Oswego at 7:30. That sucks. I'm not the one. She wasn't the one. Move closer to where people live. Perfect superstar. Anyway, Lauren brings up a good point. Unlike her neighbor in Oswego. Here's the tale of the tape on the Brandon Mashinter Kyle Beach trade. This is interesting because, well, Mashinter was hurt. He missed a couple of games because he was injured. He had a lower body. I'm not exactly sure which part of his body, but he had a lower body. And Kyle Beach was a healthy scratch for a couple games in Hartford. Where have we heard that story before? But here is the tale of the tape. Each of them, since the deal, have played 22 games. Now here's where it gets interesting. Brandon Mashinter, 7 goals, 6 assists. I believe the math works out to 13 points. Plus minus, he's a minus 2, which if you're interested in that stat, I mean, it's just as good as any other recreational stat out there. Or means as much. 40 penalty minutes, a handful of fights. Actually, not a handful. I think he's got 4 off the top of my head. And 35 shots on goal for a 20% shooting percentage in 22 games. 7 goals, 13 points. Kyle Beach, 22 games, 1 goal, 2 assists, minus 8, 52 penalty minutes. So better than a penalty a game, a minor a game. 33 shots on goal for a 3% shooting percentage. Yeah, so far, I remember talking to Ted Dent after the deal, and I said, hey, you know, you talked to Kyle and, you know, before he left. And the funny part about the Beach trade was they had a morning practice in Charlotte. It was a Friday. This would have been Friday, December, so the 5th, he played on the 5th, so it would have been December 6th when that deal happened. And then didn't the Hawks just make a deal on February 6th?
Yes, they did.
The Bouchard-Regan deal was on. Okay, so that'll be easy to remember in 5-10 years from now. If I can remember the Joey Junot trade, I can remember this one. But I was talking to Ted Dent. I said, because what happened was they're on the bus after practice when they got the phone call. After the practice, you know, they were going back to the hotel, change or whatever, and then they had a team outing. They were all going bowling that afternoon in Charlotte. So Kyle actually went with the team to the bowling outing because his flight out of Charlotte wasn't till that night. So, like, he practiced with the team. On the bus back to the hotel, he found out that the trade happened. And then, like, he made a couple phone calls. He gathered his stuff. He talked to the Rangers. He found out his flight was that night. And then he went to the bowling outing with the Exxon. But I didn't talk to him about this. Obviously, he was gone. But from talking to other people, it was kind of nice because, you know, everybody got – you know, that wanted to say goodbye to him, had a chance to say goodbye to him. And Dent talked to him a little bit, and I asked Dent about it. I said, you know, you say anything? He's like, no, I didn't really say anything. And I think that relationship was kind of strained at the end. But, you know, he told Kyle, he said, you know, the most important thing is about making a good first impression. Well, Kyle Beach's first impression is 22 games, 1 goal, 2 assists, and a minus 8. Way to go, Kyle. So maybe he will fade off into the sunset, Lauren, from Oswego. Brandon Peary was named first star of the AHL All-Star Game. League stat taking a half an hour to post the final score sheet of an All-Star Game. Thank you very much. So superstar, Las Vegas, California?
It was a blast as always.
Any hot topics that you'd like to, or any lasting memories that you'd like to hit before we take off here tonight?
You should have bet the safety block.
It was an exact opposite of last year. If I would have bet the – let's see, I didn't bet the safety because my friend, who I went down to the sports book with on Sunday, wanted to bet the safety too. And then we got there and he saw the line and he's like, I'm not standing in this line. I'm like, but it's the safety bet. I'm not standing in this line. That line's ridiculous. I'm not going to stand here all day. And it's like, okay. Now, I was looking at the line, and I was like, yeah, it's kind of long, but it's not going to, you know, I'm thinking to myself, 20 minutes, right? And he's like, I'm not standing in line. And I'm kind of offended. It's like, well, you're just going to be standing next to me. I mean, you know, one. I mean, we've been spent the whole weekend together, but he can't stand in line with me for 20 minutes to make a, you know, a safety bet. So the exact opposite of what happened last year, where when you and I went up and made our bets and you forgot to make the safety bet and then was like, I'm not going to stand in that line again. Well, this year you made the safety bet and I didn't, and you won.
I did. I'm really glad that happened early, too, because it's, you know, I was like, okay, chalk up that winner. I can relax.
I lost so much money on the Super Bowl. I'm not going to hold it against Peyton Manning as of right now. What a joke. But if I would have made that safety bet, all would have been forgotten. I wouldn't have been even unless I put like $300 on it. I wouldn't have been even.
I had it and it didn't even get me close to even. So,
well, because everybody was betting it, it went down to like what, 5-1?
Yeah, something like that.
Well, when I went up there, I'm like, there's no way this is going to happen 3 years in a row. And it happens on the first play. I jinxed it.
You did.
I'm the worst. I told everybody that we're at Caesar's Palace on Saturday night to watch the Blackhawks and the San Jose Sharks, of which Caesar's Palace refused to put the Blackhawks game on because they said that nobody was interested, even though there was like six tables of Chicagoans there to watch the game. They didn't want to put it on. So finally, enough of us go up there time and time again. They're like, fine, we'll put it on. Well, then they start looking for it in the package, and like it kept saying that you can't watch it on this channel. So we're sitting there, we're thinking, well, wait a minute, you can't. Why wouldn't you be able to watch it? So then I thought, wait a minute, maybe it's on the NHL Network tonight. So we find out it's on the NHL Network. We go back up there, and they're like, the game's blacked out. Now, mind you, like the first period's almost over. They're like, the game's blacked out. You can't watch it tonight. It's like, dude, they had DirecTV. It's like, dude, it's on channel 215. Turn on 215. It's like, sorry, you know, we couldn't find it. So finally, I don't even think they found it. I think they left it on that the San Jose channel, and then eventually it just tuned to 215, and then boom, it's on. But by the time it turned on, the first period was over. So like they finally turned the game on, and then it's 18 minutes of commercials and intermission interviews. I thought they were going to turn it off. I was like, but the point of all this is I convinced everybody to bet the Blackhawks in the over, and we all lost money.
Yes.
I said the Blackhawks were just here in Vegas. They'll be sloppy. San Jose's due. They haven't broke out. Like, bet the over. And everybody lost their money. But I had some really good popcorn chicken.
And copious amounts of alcohol.
I met, I don't know if I want to tell the story. Maybe it'll be a cliffhanger. I met an HBO star. Not an A-level star, not even a B-level star, but at the bar on Saturday night. I puked for the first time in like 3 years on this trip. And that really aggravated me. Because I didn't even puke. It wasn't even for a good reason. Like, I was up and around. And, like, I went upstairs. I was, like, coughing. I'm like, nah, maybe I could just throw up and this will go away. And sure enough, it did. I was upset about that. I wish there was a better story, but there's not. 3 years, Superstar.
It's a long time.
All right. So, to recap, we love Staples Center. It's all down here, downhill from here for the Blackhawks. and Ted Dent's season's on the line here with the Ice Hawks. So, in my opinion. Did we miss anything? I'm perfect. My dog
hates
me.
You're perfect. Your dog hates you, but you're not the one.
I'm perfect, but I'm not the one. My dog realizes that life would be so much better if he lived at my parents' house. what else? I don't know. I'm going to go to the store and buy some ice cream. With a lot of chocolate syrup. I'm going to go get a chunky monkey. I don't know. I guess that's it. Well, thanks a lot for joining me, Superstar.
Anytime, buddy.
Maybe we could do this again sometime.
April?
How about we shoot for next week? And then, you know, when it happens, we're like, ah, well, we still got 7 weeks.
There we go. Give us some lead time, you know.
Well, I do believe that Al and I are going to do a show because Al, we're pretty fired up. Although it may, by the time we do it, well, the Olympics are, we didn't even talk about the Olympics. Who's going to win the gold medal?
You know, I'm going to go on a limb. I'm going to say Sweden.
I'm going to say Canada. I've said this because a lot of people have been asking and emailing and stuff like that. And I should say, Superstar, that I am proud to say and announce that Molson is jumping on back on board with Puck Chatter Radio. So we have to do shows. Molson is going to be sponsoring. And so for the call for the cup, we'll be back. That'll be exciting.
That's always exciting.
That'll start next week. And a lot of people have been asking me, and I think that I'll go with Canada, but I really like the U.S. If they just go with Ryan Miller and ride it, my only problem with the U.S. is I think that their round robin is a little tougher than Canada. So it's like it's how the U.S. gets out of the round robin. Like what's their first matchup? I think that's going to be the most important thing in the tournament for the United States is how tough is that first game out of the round robin? Because that'll make or break you in a tournament like this. So for me, it's Canada or Sweden. I'll say Canada because I don't know. Everyone's all high on Lundqvist, and I don't know. Lundqvist isn't. I mean, he hasn't really set himself apart. I don't know. I'm not that big of a Lundqvist guy. I used to be, but I'm not anymore. So Russia, it's kind of an all or nothing proposition. You know, it's too much pressure. Too much pressure on them. I mean, there's too much emotion, and you can't play, especially when you're talking basically like, you know, especially when it gets to single, you know, one game and you're kind of done. I don't think you can play that way. I don't think you can play under that kind of pressure, especially those guys. So, I mean, Canada did win in Canada, but Canada's different. Canada's just, I mean, top to bottom, they're the best team. So we'll see. I'll go Canada, you go Sweden, and we'll probably both be wrong. But I do like the U.S., but I don't know. I don't think they can score enough goals. And, you know, like I said, they just got to go with Miller. Miller's the best goaltender they have right now. Maybe a healthy Quick would be better, but right now Ryan Miller's the best they have. They got to go with him. If Jimmy Howard sees the ice, then they got big problems. Yeah, big problems. Speaking of big problems, the Czechs played and lost to Sweden today, and Alexander Salak is the Czechs' backup goaltender. Whoa. Uh-oh time. All right, so we're on record. We took care of that. I think we can go now. Superstar, say goodbye to the people.
Goodbye, people.
I make promises. I say we're going to be back. I don't know if they're promises, but we're going to work for me and Al Smaglia next week to argue about Blackhawks topics and more. And talk about the Olympics that are going on. United States and Russia, Saturday. That's the big one. Everybody, I'm sure, will watch that. I will, too. And I'm going to catch those Finns. They got a lot of ex-Blackhawks. Lasse Kukkonen, Petri Cantiola, Sammy Lapisto. It's interesting to me. Anyway. Thanks for listening. TheThirdManIn.com, PuckChatter.com, BlogTalkRadio.com/TheThirdManIn, and also Twitter, which I don't participate in, but I'm on there, @ChrisBlock. And I think that's it. Thanks for listening. Good night, everybody.
Monkey! Whoa, baby!